8 times a day to actually feel normal.
How many pills are you taking each time?
Huh?
How many pills are you taking each time?
Like 1 or 2.
Well, he sounds like he's
loaded. Yeah, he's loaded. Well, you're addicted to opiates.
Opium?
Opiates. Vicodin is an opiate.
A what?
Opiate.
All right, listen.
Wait.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I don't care how stoned you are. I can't deal with you.
Okay, here's the deal, Troy. When you started taking the Vicodin a year ago?
Yeah.
Is that when you cut out the pot?
I actually have never smoked pot.
Okay.
Wow.
That's interesting.
He's mountain climbing. Isn't that high?
Yeah.
What's up with you? Were you drinking?
Drinking? I drink every once in a while.
Yeah. Feel free just to answer the question without repeating the last word in a sentence.
He's taking more than one like it.
Oh. You're pretty high right now, Troy?
No.
Huh?
Bedtime's not my thing.
Really? You don't take it before you go to sleep?
Maybe like an hour before I go to sleep.
Okay. When are you going to bed? An hour?
Huh?
Okay.
Wow. All right, Troy, this is serious ass, and you got to get treated.
What you got to do?
Vicodin addiction, heroin addiction, basically same disease.
Really?
Same process. Vicodin is a profoundly, commonly addictive opiate.
Yeah.
It's very powerful, just related to heroin. Morphine, just an oral version.
Yeah, you know, I took one just the other night. Didn't do anything. Yeah.
As my friend at college said, you didn't take enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. No, seriously, what is the effect? When I got my hand surgery, I had a bunch of them. I took them.
Yeah.
God bless me. I adhere so strictly to the doctor's orders that even when I'm not in pain, I take those goddamn Vicodins and wash them down with a couple of beers. But besides, sort of mild buzz, nothing euphoric.
Yeah, people that have the addictive genetic makeup really find this to be, oftentimes find it to be real pleasurable. They're very euphorogenic. Also, the other thing about people that select opiate addiction, that sort of find their way to opiate addiction, are often carrying around a lot of negative feelings. And magically, the opiates make those painful feelings go away, too. Not just physical pain, but also emotional pain. And so that relief of emotional pain tends to drive the use.
All right. So you're saying I should take more. Lindsay.
That's it. Yes.
You're 18. What's up?
Well.
Oh, boy.
Wait. Lindsay?
Phone's crapping out. Oh, we'll put her back on hold. We'll get back to her when her phone clears up. Stephanie?
Yeah? Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing's going on with you guys.
Don't talk to too many people named Stephanie anymore, even though it's a very common name. How many Stephanies we talked to, Drew?
Not that many. Yeah. Are you 18?
Yeah, I'm 18.
I'm
12. So anyways, 15. My problem, right?
Yeah.
Is, I'm 18 and I have a 7-month-old son. And, like, I used to be this, like, major horn dog, right? And, like, as soon as I got pregnant, it's like, all the, like, sexual drive just went away. I just don't want sex. I don't like to be kissed. I don't really like to be touched.
Yeah.
It's like, it just went away. And,
good.
Like, I talk to doctors, and they say it's because I'm chasing a baby around and stuff, and it's really not.
No. That's part of it, of course, but there are such profound biological changes after delivery. Things like postpartum depression can figure into this. Have you been depressed?
Not really. I mean, actually, I've been more like, I don't know. I mean, I don't get out of the house a lot because of the baby, of course, but I don't think I've been more depressed. Really.
Where's Daddy?
Dad, he lives with me, you know. We're doing fine. It's not like he just ditched me or anything.
Well, are you breastfeeding still?
Yeah, I'm still nursing.
Yeah, it's common when you're breastfeeding, and it's common for really up to a year after delivery. And sometimes just going on one of the birth control pills will restore some of your hormones so you start feeling like a sexual person.
Well, I'm on the shot. The doctor says that might work, but it really doesn't.
Which shot?
Depo?
Yeah.
Oh, that shuts you down like crazy.
Yeah. You got to get off the shot.
That's
and get
the problem.
On the pill.
Yeah, Stephanie, that's the problem. That is the problem.
All right, so I'm not doomed. It's going to come back.
Well, you got to get off the shot and try something different. Try like a triphasic pill, okay?
Okay.
Hey, what's Daddy do? Does he work around metal?
Yeah, he's a mechanic.
Hmm. He's getting a little
brakes.
Huh?
Does he do brakes?
Yeah, he does brakes and tune-ups and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, I got a metal feeling from this guy, working around a lot of metal. All right, you guys doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing fine.
You living on your own?
Uh-huh.
Wow, paying the bills?
Paying the bills.
Good times. How old is he?
Yeah, how old is he? He's 18, too.
Wow. He's growing up fast.
Where are you living?
Where we live in Sacramento. But we've been dating since, like, freshman year.
Okay.
We've known each other for a long time.
Good times.
Good. You don't get pregnant for a little while longer, and, you guys get it together.
Are you married?
Yeah, we're married.
All right.
It can happen.
All right, so but I am going to get it back?
If you get off the Provera, yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right. Meanwhile, you can throw him a bone every once in a while, you know. You know, you women, it's like, oh, I can't have sex. It's not because the vagina's out of commission. It's I'm not feeling amorous. Well, let me let you ladies in on a little secret. Guys aren't always feeling amorous either, especially when they've been in a relationship for some years. I mean, you women...
Can you dress them a little bit?
You crazy bitches, yeah. Listen to me. And Drew, don't stop me because your wife's listening, but I'm telling you, let me explain a man's biology.
Please.
A man's biology is basically to be with as many different partners as he can.
As frequently as possible.
As frequently as possible. That is a man's biology. And a lot of guys, especially guys who are in a position to do that, guys of wealth or power, guys of celebrity, they do end up doing that.
That's people are literally millionaires.
Like myself. Thank you, Drew. And you know how I got to be a millionaire? Right here.
The cash register.
I'm pointing at the cash register. That's my face. Thank you. Guys, you want to know how guys what guys want to do? Just find a guy who has the money, has the wherewithal, and see what he does. And that's what most guys do. So guys want to be with multiple partners multiple nights. But you know what? They're not. They get married, they have triplets, they move to a nice place, and they settle in, and they're with one woman for quite some time. That does go against our biology a little bit, but you take a guy like Drew, he's not going to sacrifice the kids, the wife, the relationship, the upbringing, the whole nine yards for this.
Let me just say, I feel very fortunate.
Oh,
really, I am into my wife, and that this is like, no, seriously.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's not an issue to me. It's not a problem.
Uh-huh.
But
Mark Schnell!
No, it's not that. And though I understand that biology.
Okay, so hear me out. Yes, Drew does not suffer from it because,
No, I'm lucky.
He's lucky. He's lucky that his wife keeps his testicles in a mason jar in the basement where he can't get to it. But this is how guys think. This is the biology of the male. Okay? And you women, you have your own biology, which is when you're not feeling amorous or you're not feeling loved or you're feeling emotionally upset for one reason or another, you don't feel sexual. You don't have sex.
Because the sex means an 18-year commitment to their biology.
Now, us guys, when we're in a long-term relationship, we put out plenty of nights when it may not be at the top of our list. And I know that doesn't sound like a popular answer because guys are supposed to be horny 24/7. But the reality is there's plenty of nights when a guy like Dr. Drew comes home and he's been working all day, he's wrung out, and there's nothing he'd rather do than crack a beer, watch a little television, and call it a night. But he hasn't been with his wife, he's been on the road, he's been traveling, he knows she's feeling lonesome, maybe she's feeling amorous. And he pays the fiddler a little bit. He does his patriotic chore. He gets down there. He gets busy. And guys can do that. And we often do. And we rarely admit it. And nobody talks about it. But I would say, Drew, and I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm going to take a guess that when a guy, especially when he's been married to a woman for 10 years now, I'd say 20-25% of the time, it may not, he might rather just keep his feet up and watch that TV than get down there. But the point is...
It depends on the relationship.
The point is he does it.
Yeah.
And you women can do a little of that once in a while, too. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying put out night after night when you're not feeling like it. But if you're going through a dry spell, well, throw the guy a bone every once in a while.
I was reading some interesting stuff over the weekend about it. Very, very well put out.
Thank you.
About the oxytocin, this chemical that's released by the pituitary gland and causes bonding in women. Women release it when they're having sexual intercourse, and it literally causes a chemical bonding with the person that they're with. And I was reading about how it affects men, and the oxytocin
makes them hungry.
No, causes an erection. That's it.
The oxytocin that we release?
Yep. Cause direction. No bonding, just direction.
Yeah.
So for women, you see that bonding thing, if that's what it's going towards with ours, it's...
it's going toward the junk because we're pragmatic. Tara?
Yes?
You're 18. What's up?
Okay, my story is kind of long.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start from the beginning. I've been, living with my mom, and she's very, very, abusive. like, she yells at me and she hits me a lot.
Your mom does.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't really know how to, like, deal with it.
Call Child Protective Services.
Well, I'm 18, and it's like, I don't know, it's not worth it to go through all that. So I moved up to my uncle's house, figuring it would be better there in Ottawa. But he's like, I don't know, he's been in, like, mental institutions, and I didn't know it. He's, like, got serious problems, and he, like, I had to get a restraining order against him.
Oh, my God.
Is this your mother's brother?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he tried to rape me, and, all this stuff happened.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, but you probably, I could have predicted it.
Yeah.
This is your mom's brother, you know.
Yeah.
Grew up under the same roof.
And
thatched roof.
Yeah. They're, like, all weird, but, so my mom decided to send me to boarding school for about a couple of years ago, and I was sent to a Christian boarding school in Florida. And while I was there, I was locked up in the basement and beaten and abused.
What?
Yeah, they, like...
It was right there on the brochure. You didn't see that?
No, I said nothing about that.
Oh, yes. Which school was it?
Victory Christian.
Uh-huh. I have the brochure right in front of me. It's on the back. It's not on the front page. The part about, there it is. Part of our curriculum is locking up and beating all of our students, especially sophomores and freshmen, in the basement.
They had these, like, really strict rules about being a lady, and you couldn't say yes, you couldn't crack your knuckles. And, like, little things like that.
They would beat you if you...
Yeah, you would get demerits, and you'd have to write... First, like, I will not say I will say yes 100 times, and if you couldn't turn in on time, they'd double, and they'd sit you in detention.
All right, hold on a second.
We got to hear more about this, huh?
We got to take a break.
Okay.
I got to beat through.
The Victor Christian Desaad
School. Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Yeah. I got to hear about this.
Huh? Yeah, but I'm not so...
We may have an obligation to report this place.
I don't really care, by the way, what boarding schools do to their kids, actually. Whatever it is, it's good for them. As long as it's in the name of God. I'm not so sure. I mean, Tara sounds pretty sane.
She can't be with what she's been through.
But I get the feeling that she's got a long list of stories about what has been done to her. And a lot of it is true, but I don't know if it's as true as she portrays it.
Let's see.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll unravel the mystery that is Tara after this. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Matchbox 20 is going to be here on Sunday. They're doing okay, those guys. And I like those guys. So I'll be glad to see them on Sunday night when they come into the Love Line studio. Now, let's finish off with Tara. Tara's 18 years old.
Yeah.
Tara's mom's a little crazy.
Very.
Yeah, whole family's nuts. I wonder what kind of shape Grandma and Grandpa are in on Mom's side of the family.
Well, my grandmother's, you know, she lives with my aunt, and my aunt's, like, very isolated and lives with her and doesn't associate with, like, anybody.
All right. So everything's a mess. And for all you've been through, you sound pretty sane.
Thanks, I try.
At the moment.
Okay, but here's what you, now, where are you living currently?
Upland.
Oh, California. Where, though?
California.
Oh, in California. I see. On, in which planet?
Which planet?
Earth?
Yeah.
Okay. But remember the part about you living with your mom, and then your mom sending to boarding school, and then you moving to your crazy uncle's house?
The thing about the boarding school was that, I mean, they don't, like, hit you for no reason.
I know. You were acting out.
Exactly.
You're going nuts because of how you were raised.
Well, that's part of it.
That's all of it. Now, listen to me.
And what?
And, when I first got there, the lady, like, I was upset because I wanted to go home, and the lady grabbed my arm and, like, gave me a bruise and literally hurt me, and I called her a bitch. Then she took me back to the back room and shoved, like, a big old bar of soap in my mouth and started, like, just hitting me and pinching me, and I, of course, got defensive, and I hit her. And next thing you know, I have three girls jumping me, kicking my ass in there, and they sat on me in this hallway for, like, 3 days, and I couldn't move. And they got really, and, like, the owner of the boarding school said that he was gonna, like,
3 days they sat on you in
a
hallway. Was this a boarding school or a residential treatment center?
It was a boarding school in Florida.
It was not a treatment place for.
No. But the thing about it was that the boarding school, the director of the boarding school said that he was gonna file some kind of
Hold on a second, Drew. Why did we have to?
I wanted to hear that.
I know, but. we established, I said to you during the commercial, because Tara came from such abuse and such chaos, and she's like a wild animal in this place, and lo and behold, somebody tried to discipline her, and she took a swing at her, and then they sat on her in a hallway for 3 days straight, which doesn't quite sound right because of the whole eating and using the bathroom thing, but maybe they did it on her. I don't want to go, I don't want to sift through that rubble.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out where she's, what she's doing now. Tara?
Yeah,
that's yeah, I know. Okay, quiet. You're in Upland, right?
Yeah.
Where? I mean, who are you living with?
My mother.
Oh, you're back with your mom?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a bad idea, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Basically the question, you want the question, right?
Not really.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
The question is that now I'm back at home, and it's like, it's the same old thing, and I don't know, like, how to deal with it. I don't know how to deal with such abuse.
Okay.
I just kind of curl up in a ball, and I just kind of isolate myself.
Okay,
and
here's your answer. You must move out on your own. Do you have do you have any friends?
Uh-huh.
You do?
Not boyfriend?
No, not a boyfriend.
No. You have a girlfriend?
A friend boy.
Uh-oh.
Okay. All right. He's been a friend of yours for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Is he gay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
How'd you know that?
Good.
Good. Because I know you. You can be a victim, and if he wasn't gay, he probably would have tried to rape you by now. And he's probably had his share of hard knocks, and that's why you guys are bonding.
We approve.
Good.
You're in.
He's got himself a job over at the salon?
No, he's going to Mount Sac. He's a professional dancer.
Funny, the gay guy's going to Mount Sac. I don't know why, but the word Mount and Sac are in the same thing.
Mount San Antonio.
I see. And does he have any money? Can he move out of the house?
No. He's at home.
Okay.
Can you both move on campus?
Pardon me?
Can you both move on campus?
No, he's just attending Mount Sac. He lives with his parents.
I see. Listen, you need to get yourself a job. You're 18 now.
I did that for a while, and it's like I had to work full time. I wasn't even graduated yet, and I had all my money going to food and rent, and
yes,
it was like
there you go.
Horrible. I had no freedom or anything.
It couldn't be worse than living with an abusive parent.
I was living with my brother.
Okay, well, is your brother 10 kinds of nuts, too?
Oh, yeah, he's a big
okay.
pothead.
Okay, listen. Tara, listen to me, and then this is it, because I'm hanging up on you.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I'm a genius, right?
Of course.
I understand what's going on in your life and what will go on in your life. You need to get away from your mother. I would stay away from anyone who had to do with your family for a good long time. I would become independent. I would work very hard. I would move out, hopefully with a friend and a roommate. And you struggle. It is a struggle. I did this for many, many years.
The struggle will give her structure. She knew that.
Yes, it keeps you busy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I got, you know, one of my good friends, and we moved into a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. It was $435 a month.
It only took you 14 years to pull out of that hellhole.
Let's be fair, Drew, was 12 years.
Okay.
All right, wise ass.
Yeah.
12, 13, yeah.
Remember the part about burning through coal?
Yeah, you had to explore what was going on at the nunnery with her, you idiot.
Yeah.
Jamie?
Yes.
21, what's up?
Hi, I'm getting married in 3 months, and my fiancé and I are waiting till we get married to have sex, and a couple of weeks ago, probably like a week ago, we were talking, and he told me that just about maybe 2 years ago, he got a memory that when he was maybe like 7 or 8, he was sexually abused. And when I found out, I was just like, I was in shock. I really haven't never known anyone this close to me that's been abused like that.
Yeah.
And I kind of tried to tell him, you know, my gosh, I'm sorry, you know, what can I do? And I tried to bring it up like a week ago, or like a few days ago, and he just doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, we don't need to talk about it. I'm fine. It hasn't hurt me at all. I'm fine.
Are you religious?
Yeah.
Is he religious?
Yeah.
Is this why you guys are virgins?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
is it in your religion, is it a sin to be gay?
Yeah.
Like big time? Like, is that a big thing you guys talk about?
He's not gay.
Well.
He's not.
Okay, hold on a second. Drew, what are you getting at?
Well, he was sexually abused when he was a kid. It all comes up right when he's about to get married.
He's bisexual.
Remained a virgin.
He doesn't want to talk about it. And it happened to be in a church in which it makes a big deal out of sexual choice.
Oh.
Sexual identity.
True. You're going to give her a real good night's sleep. You work this gay angle.
Well, I'm not saying he's gay, but I'm saying that those, as you well know, those experiences create a lot of confusion about one's sexual identity, and I wonder if that's kind of what he's grappling with.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that he's gay. I'm not saying that.
He's probably gay. Jamie?
He's not.
All right. Do you look at him as damaged goods or anything now?
I want to be there for him. I want him to be able to talk to me. And the way he talks about it, he's like, you know what, it's fine.
How have his relationships been in the past?
Okay.
Yeah, any little chaos there?
No, they just didn't work out.
Why?
It's gay.
The first one was really spoiled and wanted, like, I don't know, too much. But
Done a lot of experimentation?
That kind of way.
Is there experiment with different kinds of people or different whatever?
He had like 2 or 3 girlfriends that just didn't work out.
Yeah. Hey, Jamie?
Yeah.
Well, listen, why don't you tell him, you're concerned about him and you want to be there for him. But this may not be the kind of thing that he wants to or even should get into with you.
My question was...
Yeah?
Because he said that this memory just came up just not too, like a couple years ago. And he didn't remember anything before that. It just came to him. He said someone was talking to him about little kids who don't know any better. And then they get abused and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he says that he started feeling like he could empathize. And then that's when it started coming. I'm wondering if there could be more that he still doesn't remember. And if it's possible, it could affect him and I, like our intimacy.
Yes, it's very possible.
It's possible, but... it's not necessary.
Yeah.
A single episode of abuse, if you really look at the studies on that, aren't necessarily correlated with a lot of problems.
It's good for a kid. Keeps it real. Hey, Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
He needs to possibly talk to a therapist if he's having these feelings.
Or his clergy.
No.
That's where they're hooked in.
Oh, please. With those idiots. My God. That's probably the one who did the molesting. Jamie?
Family member. And the reason I think it might not have been a repeated offense.
What, it was a she?
Yeah, well.
Oh, hey, good times. No, good times.
She made him touch her.
What's that?
She made him touch her.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right,
listen. Here's the problem with religion. You see how freaked out Jamie is?
Yeah.
You know? Jamie's like, this guy was 8, you know. Aunt Margie had a few, wine coolers out in the sun one day and stumbled into the bathroom. I've been divorced. Touch me, you know. And the kid's fine.
That Bartles and James does to you?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. I do.
Yeah, but Jamie is all freaked out because Jamie's real religious. They don't go for any of that crap. And now she thinks of him as sort of damaged goods, like this guy was sort of pre-sinned. And now she marries him, she may go to hell with him.
Mm.
And the aunt. Just relax. If he has issues about it, he should talk to a therapist about it.
His relationship has been solid. His sexual identity seems intact.
It was a chick. She just said that. Steven?
Yeah?
He's 17.
Now, I, by the way, was thinking B. Hyman was no longer intact. I was going to wonder how we were going to deal with that from the virginity angle.
Right. What's up there, Steven?
I heard about this pill. It's supposed to make women, come on to you more or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to give you, like, more pheromones.
That's true.
That's true?
Yeah.
Alright. I just want to say that Matt Show kicks ass.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, the new season will premiere June 18th, Sunday night, 10 o'clock at a
new
time. So you'll want to look at
that. What show are you premiering with? The Rosie Show?
What Rosie Show?
Well, Rosie gets stuck in a well.
Oh, yeah. Is that the first show? Oh, Drew, please don't give it away. How dare you? How dare you?
Anything
about Rosie.
You know, I think this pheromone thing is going to be when these guys look back at their teen years,
mm-hmm.
the pheromone is going to have the same meaning as Spanish Fly did for us. It's just going to be just replace the words, same thing.
Let me tell you a true story about Spanish Fly, though. My buddy's older brother, Kurt.
Had a friend?
No. Yeah, Kurt's buddy. He picks up this Betty at a party. This is a while ago. I mean, this is like 1979, you know? And he slips this chick some Spanish Fly, right? and she's really hot for him. I mean, she's all heated up because, you know, stuff's made out of cockroach legs. And, well, you know what it's like when you eat a cockroach. So you're all over the place. So this chick's really hot. And this guy's like, yeah, I'm going to get some. So he pulls into a 7-Eleven, you know. He's going to get a six-pack and some condoms. And he's going to town with this chick, right? Because she's really, I mean, she's like sweating. She's so horny, right? He goes into the 7-Eleven. True stories. My buddy, it's, you know, my buddy's older brother, Kurt, his good buddy, you know. He goes into the 7-Eleven. I mean, he's in there for like 5 minutes. He's buying, you know, some smokes and a six-pack and some condoms, you know. Comes out. She's dead in the car. She's impaled herself on the stick shift.
Oh, no!
She couldn't wait, man. You know what I'm saying? She like, mounted the stick shift, and she killed herself.
I think I know that guy. Well, my friend knows that guy.
You know that dude?
Yeah, yeah. My buddy's friend, his buddy.
That's what Spanish fly will do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Got to get some of that.
Pheromones.
Yeah,
same
pheromones. Yeah.
Total, utter, absolute, categorical nonsense.
Well, it's like anything in lieu of getting a job and doing a few push-ups.
Right.
I can sit around, mix a few chemicals up in the basement and see if I can trick a chick into sex. That ain't going to work, guys. But here's the good news. You can get a job, you make a few bucks, take care of yourself a little, read a book or something, and you can get chicks. Oh, yes. You can be short, you can be ugly, you can still get chicks.
23.5.
What's that?
23.5, about 18 years old.
Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Tom. He has lumps in his balls after this. Yeah, it is Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And again, Matchbox 20 will be in here tomorrow. Pardon me, Sunday night. Now, even though it's Thursday, man, does it feel like Wednesday?
Yeah, because we have the night off.
We have Sunday off.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like
that. Well, can't every week be like this? Because then we start feeling like Friday.
Yeah, I'd adjust real quick. Yeah, and I'd be complaining by now. It'd feel like Friday. Certainly. And we wouldn't get paid as much. Tom?
Yeah?
I wouldn't be able to be a millionaire. Literally, a millionaire.
Whatever.
Tom, you're 13. What's up?
I found, like, bumps on my left testicle, and I want to know what it is.
Bumps on the testicle? Like, in the skin, or in the scrotum, or in the testicle, like, inside the sac?
It's, like, inside the sac.
And can you describe them to me?
Well, it's kind of... It's, like, kind of attached to the testicle, and it feels like another testicle coming off, just, like, what? Really lumpy.
Like wormy almost?
Ooh.
Not really.
Okay, because if you feel there's a cap that sits on top of the testicle called the epididymis, and off of that comes the spermatic cord and all these veins and things, and you can feel sort of, like, noodly in there as it's coming off that cap. And you can feel like a separate testy almost.
Yeah, true. Well,
the thing is, though, Tom, I suspect it's normal, but you don't know how to judge that. I mean, there can be hernias, and there can be cysts and hydroceles and whatnot. And if there's any concern at all, you ought to have a doctor just take a look at it. But it sounds like you're feeling something normal.
Jessica.
Yeah.
You're 21?
Mm-hmm.
You just found out you have warts?
No, I have HPV.
That's warts.
Well, no, I don't have warts yet.
That is warts, though.
Okay, fine.
Everyone's a wise ass.
My doctor told me I had HPV, and I asked her if I should tell the guy I was sleeping with at the time. And she told me that I didn't have to if I didn't want to, and that it was the most common disease. And
see, Adam?
Yeah, good. Hey, wise ass, bring $100 and that black light in and
Max,
that vinegar.
Max.
And I'll show you my penis.
You could really help out with the show. I need a black light. And just like Heinz vinegar. Seriously.
Oh, let him do his job, Drew.
Whenever, if you can get your hands on that, just
hey,
seriously.
And Ann's the producer.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh. I hope
that's
she's not listening.
I'm asking Matt.
Ann ain't bringing nothing. And we're lucky if Ann brings herself in here. Are you kidding me?
Come on. Heinz vineger and a black light. All right?
Okay.
It'd be a huge, and I need like a welder's mask and
oh,
some big gloves.
Shut up.
Hey, don't forget the magnifying glass.
And a magnifying glass, yes. A microscope, in fact.
How dare you. How dare you. Jessica?
Magnifying glass would be good. In fact, if there's $100 on it.
Yeah, and you swing by the ATM and pick that $100 up. And then let me tell you what I'm going to spend all that. I'm going to spend that on Vicodin and fortified wine, that $100, just to spite you. Drive my car off a cliff.
Hey, let me ask you, why don't you bring that up? Why do people get sort of paranoid about somebody who's trying to help people make better choices as it pertains to drugs and alcohol.
Oh, I don't.
Can you help me understand that?
True. I'm not spinning off with you in your many directions.
No, but
I'm sticking with
the
business.
Hang on, because I... It helped me deliver the message a little more clearly if I understood why people get so paranoid.
I don't know. I don't care.
All
That's
right.
my
Thanks
message.
Thanks for your help. I appreciate that.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal. You got to weave your stuff in when there's an opening. You cannot cram it up the anus of the listener.
I understand that.
Just because it pops into your head.
No, that's great advice.
Thank you.
But it just seems to me people are getting more... I read it. Time Magazine article.
No!
Ecstasy.
Yeah.
It was weak.
I know you were harping on that last night, though. And we'll get into that after the break. Write that down.
Ecstasy.
Max, write that down.
Jessica? And bring the vinegar.
All right. So she said you don't have to tell your partner.
Right. And she said it was so common that in a couple of years, pretty much everyone will have it.
You see that, Adam? See, I agree with your doctor, Jessica.
Yeah. Whenever you say that, Drew, all I hear from you is, I have warts. That's what I hear. That's what I hear out of you. And now you want everyone to have warts so they can join your wart world. This legion of wart-infested people that will rule the earth one day.
To say that you have HPV is
like Omega Man.
Basically that you live in a urban center and that you're sexually active.
But listen, shouldn't she tell her boyfriend?
Yes, I think you should. I think that is responsible.
I don't know why she said you didn't have to tell your partner.
But it may be as high as 60% in like college environment, things like that.
Frank, thank God I never went to college. You're 22.
Hi, guys. I'm a long-time fan of both your, actually, Dr. Drew, especially you. I think you really do a great service.
Oh, thanks, Frank.
Thanks for saying
that. I haven't had any comments in quite some time. So I've been so long.
Well, I got a crazy problem here. And I thought it was all in my head, and it seems like there's actually something behind it. I guess, gone down on my girlfriend, and two times after that, the little punching bag in the back of my throat has gotten really swollen and kind of gross looking. Maybe it's a coincidence, but it seems...
Are there ulcers on it? Can you see canker sores kind of things on it?
Describe an ulcer.
Little white dots.
Little white dots. Yeah, it's definitely not just pink. It's kind of whitish.
Is it bright red back there?
It's all inflamed and,
All right.
Well,
what is that, your uvula?
Your uvula, and thank you for using the
uvula.
Yeah. Or the punch.
Is that herpes or something? Or?
Yeah, but not likely. The herpes tends to be, so the initial outbreak tends to sort of get all over the place. And if you don't have swollen glands in your neck, that would go against that. You can get bacterial infections of the uvula. I've seen that a lot. And sometimes they have ulcers with them, sometimes they don't.
This isn't a venereal disease.
I doubt it, but he should be on an antibiotic that covers anaerobes and strep. And if he gets better with that, then it wasn't herpes. It's that simple.
All right. Let me just talk to Dante real quick. Dante?
Hey.
You're 21, you don't believe in homosexuality, but fantasize about guys? Oh, you don't believe you're homosexual?
You're gay.
True advice.
Hold on, let me explain real quick. I was raised, in a Christian home, and we always believed that homosexuality wasn't right. I mean, we don't believe that people were born with homosexuality. We believe that it's a decision that you make, and I really believe that it's a fetish, and I don't think about it all the time. I mean, I think about girls like 90% of the time.
What do you mean by fetish? That's very interesting. What do you mean by that?
Do what?
What do you mean by fetish? That's a very interesting
intercourse. I have no desire to have intercourse with a guy, but like...
A handy once in a while wouldn't hurt. Quick reach around, something like that?
Well, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Well, I don't...
Listen, mister, you're coming to the right place. I was driving down Highland Boulevard today fantasizing about being gay. What a life.
Was it fantasizing or wishing?
Wishing.
Yeah, see.
Wishing. I thought Daniel Kellison, the producer of The Man Show, I'd shack up with him in a heartbeat and we'd be having the time of our lives. It really, really popped
then
into my head.
You both bring Jimmy once in a while. Think of that.
I'll blow a guy right at the dinner table. Yeah. Yeah, I was fantasizing. I mean, what was I doing?
Wishing.
I was wishing. Wishing I was gay. Like it's some kind of pill or something I could take.
Daniel might be willing to go. Maybe she proposed it to him.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't got much hair on him.
Oh.
Yeah. I could probably work with him. Yeah, you're right. All right, hold on. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll get back with Dante and his fetish after this. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Matchbox 20 is going to be in here on Sunday night. Blah, blah, blah. I think they have, I think they've sold like 10 million records or something, their last record. Man, they've been doing real well. So they're nice guys, and we'll be glad to see them again when they come in here Sunday night. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, and let's hop back on the phones.
Dante.
Finish up with Dante. Now, Dante grew up in a religious family that believed homosexuality was something that could be sort of, there was a choice, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Not 100%, but in some cases. And now you're having your own feelings. Not take it in the pooper feelings. A little hand action.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Why do you think you're having those feelings?
I don't know. I couldn't explain why I was having those feelings. I mean, I'm a hornball.
You like chicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I would be too. I can't get over the cootie factor with the ladies. But
were you sexually abused or anything at any time?
When I was 12 years old, I was.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Exactly.
Who was that? Who did that?
It was a. It was my boss at my first job working at a gas station.
Huh. Wow.
And
full service.
Yeah, but it only went on one time, and after that, you know, nothing ever happened.
You were working a gas station when you were 12?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I was, that was back when, it was, still, you know, full service, pumping gas, washing windshields.
Yeah, not in California. Not in Los Angeles, that's for goddamn sure.
Well, I was in a small town in Texas, too. So.
Yeah, there you go. Do I have to go on another rant about what horrible a-holes everyone owns a gas station in Southern California is?
Yeah.
Don't ever move here and work at a gas station. You'll become a horrible, wretched a-hole.
I don't think I'll ever work at a gas station.
Dismal, mean-spirited son of a bitch. I hate all of you. You're so lucky I need your product. Man, are you lucky. And man, do you act like you know it. All right, so Dante, that's what it is. All right, but you were 12 and only happened once, and what happened?
Well, I told my mother about it, and charges were never filed, but my dad got after him, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, that's the Texas way.
Yeah, and
hit him with that 45-pound hubcap-sized belt buckle his dad wears. Did dad wear a huge belt buckle?
Wears a huge belt buckle and a 10-gallon hat and big boots.
Really?
Wow.
That's great.
I just wanted to know if it was normal. I mean, think about that sometimes.
All right, for what happened to you, it's normal.
Right.
So
I don't want to have these thoughts.
All right. Well, you don't have to act on them.
Right.
Have you ever acted on them?
No, I've never. Well, when I was younger, like 13 or 14.
You and little Joe?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, we just, you know, the hand job, you know.
Okay. All right. And, but nothing since then?
No. And, you know, I don't know. I don't want to have morally wrong thoughts in my head.
That's all right. Listen, let me tell you how God works. He doesn't care what you're thinking. He cares what you're doing.
Right.
You understand? Everyone has thoughts. That's part of being a human being. It's the actions. That's what God can. Listen, God doesn't think any different than the cops. Cops don't care whether you think about running red lights or vehicular manslaughter or killing your wife or taking out an entire preschool by driving your pickup truck through a wall. They don't care what you think. They care what you do. And if you never do any of that stuff, then you're fine with them. Same with God. I know God because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus said I was his best friend. Yeah. He said he didn't much care for the rest of you guys, the little people, as he called you. But things were pretty good, especially after, you know, the two TV shows that I have and literally being a millionaire. I think that swayed him a little bit. As a matter of fact, Jesus is kissing up to me a little bit now because of, you know, the recent success.
That's good.
Yeah. thought it was important to talk about that on the air. He said not to say anything. Said you'd get jealous, that people would call me a liar, but, you know, it's like Monica Lewinsky with the president. How long can you keep that under your hat? You know what I'm saying?
Let me say to the people of America, the nations of the world, that I hate your ass. I swear to God I do.
I mean, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is your best friend. You're going to blab, right?
There you go. Here, we'll listen to it right now.
All right, Dante.
Blah, 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 blah.
Dante's fine. Dante, maybe a little therapy for what happened at the gas station. Don't freak yourself out.
I want to do some research on what it is that when something like that happens at sort of a critical period, it sort of etches in some sort of arousal mechanism to people. In other words, he's 12 years old, he's developing normal, he gets sexually abused by a male, and now there's some sort of arousal circuit gets etched into his brain
right,
that he can't get rid of.
But the thing that's interesting about Dante is he was 12, not 9, five.
Yeah.
See, at 12, thank you, at 12 he was just coming out of it. So the etching didn't really take, and that's why he only wants the hand job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if this guy got to him when he was 6, he'd want the rim job.
Yeah.
Now he gets the hand job. And he's not even going to act on that.
Maybe it's an alphabet thing.
Adam? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think hand and rim then.
Huh?
Okay. Adam? No.
Yes. You're 14. What's up?
Well, it's kind of hard to talk about. My mom, I just recently found out about a year ago that she was a prostitute.
How'd you find that out?
Well, I found out from my biological dad's girlfriend at the time. I mean, I've been through a lot of crap in the past year or so. Yeah. About 2 years. I mean, I went to about 12 different schools.
Yeah.
And I mean, half my family hates me because my cousin divulged that I'm pagan. And
pagan, huh?
Yeah, that's not Satan worshiping anything.
No, you just sacrifice a goat or something every once in a while.
No.
What's pagan? Hold on a second. My good buddy Jesus Christ is just talking to me. Yeah. Who says he'll see you in hell?
Well, the pagans believe there is no devil and there is no hell.
Well, that's you pagans, but Jesus just told me there was devil and hell and he'd see you there.
You go to hell and you die!
That's what he said. All right, anyway, Adam, so you've had a rough go of it, and you're doing a lot of acting out.
Not really. I mean, I've just moved around. I mean...
I see. What do you do with this paganism?
Well, I mean...
How does it work?
You don't believe in God or Jesus or anybody.
Yeah.
You believe in the goddess.
I see.
And other gods.
Who's that? Brooke Shields? Who is that?
She's a being.
I see. All right. Well, listen, this is going to serve you well in life. Make sure and put it right at the top of every application you fill out for a job. Pagan. Right?
All right. Oh, and I've got another question.
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of health problems lately. Like, I mean, my back has been killing me. I'm on painkillers and stuff for my back.
Oh, boy. I had a report.
And I've got tons and tons and tons of acne all over my face and body.
Why don't you get that treated?
Well, I've tried this stuff called Proactive.
Yeah.
It seems to work pretty well, but it's expensive. It's like $40 for a 3-month supply.
Yeah, you may need something stronger than that, actually.
Well,
how about Accutane? Is that stronger?
Yep, how about Accutane?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, hey, Adam?
Yeah?
Adam, why don't you take Accutane?
Okay.
That'll cure it.
Do you understand what we're saying?
Yeah.
Would you like to cure your problem?
Definitely, because it itches and burns.
I understand. Take that Accutane.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and I just want to say that Adam, Dr. Drew,
yeah.
I love you guys.
Yeah, well, thanks. We love you, too. I don't even know where to get to with him.
We didn't get anywhere, yeah.
Well, listen, take your Accutane, but let's just start with the zits. Take the Accutane. You know what's funny about that? We do this a lot of callers call this show. They're like, I got a problem, man. It is a big problem. It is one.
Then they never get to it.
It is the mother of all problems. Mm-hmm. No, they get to it. And, well, one of the problems I have acne. Bad, bad acne. It's all over my back, it's all over my face. It burns. It's humiliating. Yeah, I went, take some Accutane. Anyway, yeah, you take this Accutane, that'll clear it up. Yeah. Anyway, it's like, well, hey, sorry. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm going door to door selling knives, you know?
Right.
You have a problem. You told us what the problem is, and we're telling you how to fix that problem.
This brings me back to the...
Here's what I want, though. Here's my dream. Here's what I'll never get out of our callers. Accutane, does it really work?
How do I get it?
How do I get hold? How much is this stuff? Hold on. Let me write this down. Uh-huh. And how do you know it works? And what are the side effects? And I didn't know this existed. Yeah. Anyway... back to paganism.
But this gets me back to the topic I was talking about in the first hour, which is the deal with trying to educate people about the drugs they choose to use.
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's ecstasy, neurotoxin, the dorsal nucleus of Raphe projections in the nucleus accumbens are going to be fried. You're going to have no serotonergic receptors or serotonergic release in the limbic system. It'll screw up your memory and your mood for your life. Okay, so, yeah. So, does it drain the spinal fluid out of your back?
Well, listen, it's part of being stupid. Drew, think about this. You want to know what you want to know what one of the definitions, one of the cornerstones of being stupid is? Being disinterested in things you really should be interested in,
yeah.
And being way too interested in junk that doesn't really matter.
But I don't
Listen, it is. Becoming a huge fan of a particular pro wrestler to the point where you've dropped $200 in merchandising, posters, mm-hmm. and have spent your last penny to go down to the arena and hold a big cardboard sign up that says The Rock. And meanwhile, not dealing with whatever medical problem, drug problem, or emotional problem you're having. Part of being stupid is focusing on stuff you don't need to focus on, and it's a perfect balance, not focusing on stuff you really need to focus on. Smart people focus on stuff they need to focus on and don't pay too much attention to stuff that doesn't affect them.
But I'm not sure it's really intelligence or even a cognitive process.
Yes.
I go to these colleges around the country.
You hate to break it down. They're smart and stupid. That's what it is.
I don't know.
That's right.
Well, because I go to some pretty high-powered schools and some can't get through. In fact, then there's entitlement. Then it's like, oh, I'm smarter than you.
You can be stupid and a college student. I mean, please. Sam?
Yeah.
You're 22.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew. I love you guys. Your show really rocks.
Thank you.
Okay, I got a problem. Around a week ago, I was feeling a little down, and I called one of those phone sex lines, which is something I don't usually do. I do it, like, once every, like, 6 months when I feel extremely depressed. And we got in a conversation. I told my girlfriend about it. And to make a long story short, she said that she considers it borderline cheating, and that if I did it again, she'd want to break up.
I
really don't know what to do.
Women spin out about that one.
Yeah, why'd you tell her?
I don't know.
Was she going to see the phone bill anyway?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got in conversation, and I told her.
Yeah, you're stupid. It's all right. This stupidity is based on age and inexperience. Like I was saying last night, you just can't share everything. You really can't. But I wonder if there's a part of you that's just sort of depressed and trying to push her out. I mean, why would you tell her? Why would you volunteer it? Do you know what I'm saying? Is there a part of you that wants out of this relationship?
Well, no. I was just, because I was worried that I was going to get a big phone bill, and I was pissed off about that because I haven't been working much, so...
I get more of a dependency thing.
He didn't answer the question.
Yeah, I don't get that. I get more of the...
I'm not getting it either, but any time a guy knowingly divulges something to a mate that's going to get him in trouble, I always question it a little bit.
I think it's because he's looking for some sort of fusion to rescue him from his feelings. He's going to just open his soul to her, and she's going to take over and whisk him into happiness.
Yeah.
You see, and so everything he does is sort of, he feels guilty about not unloaded on her.
All right. Well, Sam?
Yeah.
Here's how you can avoid that. A, either don't do it again, or B, when you do it, don't tell her, you jackass.
Okay.
All right. And C, you're depressed.
Yeah, deal with that. Okay, Sam?
Okay.
Get it treated, or start making change in your life so you can begin to climb out of what it is that is keeping you down.
All right, let me explain that.
And by the way, I revisited my college last weekend at a 20-year college, and one of the reactions I had was, oh, my God. Just going back onto the campus, oh, my God, was I depressed when I was here.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You were miserable. I saw you. God. I saw pictures. Anyone with the frames that you had on your glasses would be depressed. I don't know how you kept your head up. Things were so big. Charles Nelson Reilly looked like. God. All right. You know what? Here's my... I want to impart some knowledge to our listeners because we don't have a guest tonight. It's the last night of the week. What the hell? screw all of you. I don't care if this is entertaining or not. But I want you to listen up. This is important. We have a lot of people who call this show, and they're depressed, and they're in a bad way, and they're going through a tough time, and they don't know what to do, and they don't have the money, and they don't have the wherewithal, and they just can't go to a therapist, and there's no one they can turn to. And they essentially, you have to cure yourself in a way. And ultimately, you do in life anyway. Ultimately, you do have to take care of your own ass, and you're depressed. And I'm going to tell you right now a way to cure that depression. And it's easy, and I know none of you will ever do it, but if you did start doing it, it would start going away. At least it would cut into it. It really would. Here's my tips. I use them in my own life. And look at me. I'm a pillar of happiness.
Literally.
Literally a pillar. I'm literally made of marble and alabaster. Here's what you do. A, listen to classical music whenever you can. You know what's that? I'm telling the truth. I don't care.
You never listen to that stuff. You scream at me when I listen to Oprah.
How dare you?
How
dare you? Please. I listen to classical music when I drive my car. I listen to it at home.
What do you listen to? You just put on...
I don't know what the hell it is.
Mozart and that's it?
Yeah, the point is it clears your head out a little bit. Having people screaming in the background all the time and destroying their instruments is bad. It's good when you're having a good time, but when you need to clear your head out sometimes, listen to some classical music and take some walks. Take long walks. Get some headphones, tune into some classical station, and just take a long walk. And do it every day. Do some push-ups. Do some exercise. Do stuff you don't want to do. You don't feel like cleaning your room, clean your room. You don't feel like emptying the garbage, empty the garbage. You don't feel like doing those push-ups, do those push-ups. Start doing stuff you don't want to do. Start breaking yourself down a little bit. Don't give in to it. Don't take a nap. Don't smoke the weed. Don't watch endless hours of TV. Push yourself out of it. You can do it yourself. I mean, you ain't going to cure yourself, but you can put a good dent in it. Thank you. And, thank you, Anderson. Triple down on the masturbation. Kim.
Hi.
You're 15. Don't masturbate while you're walking, though.
Tried that a couple times?
Yes. A dog got hold of my penis, and I haven't seen it since. Damn neighbors. What's up there, Kim?
First of all, happy belated birthday, Adam.
Thank you.
Yeah. I had a question for Dr. Drew.
I'm 36 years young.
Okay.
My question was, is there a female equivalent to the pearly penile papules?
Not really. What are you saying?
It's just whenever I hear you describe them to your male callers, I'm like, hey, that looks like what I have. It's like little goosebump. It's white near the surface, the inside of the outer lips.
I know what you're talking about. That is a very similar phenomenon. Not the same thing, but similar.
Is it dangerous at all?
No.
Okay, because I've had it for years.
Yeah, normal.
So, okay.
I wonder what they would call that, though.
Pearly vaginal papules. I don't know. Have to come up with something to start with a P. Ooh. I want to call it that. You know what I'm saying? All right, the P word.
Okay.
All right, Kim.
All right, thank you.
All right, listen to that classical music. Do those push-ups.
Okay.
There you go. Let's see. John?
No, it's a little bright.
He's got genital fungus. I had to itch my nuts just reading his question. You want to talk to him?
After break.
Oh, man. But look at Jenna. She's having sex dreams about that. That's something. Let me just check in with her. I'll take a break. Jenna?
Yes.
You're 19? 18, sir? 18. You're having sex dreams about your dad?
Yeah.
Is it explicit?
It's
The most recent one, I've had two in the last 2 weeks, and it's really disturbing, obviously. But the most recent one was a little tiny girl came up, and she was telling me that she had been molested. And so I was telling my dad about it, and the little girl goes up, and she goes, he wanted me to touch him here. And she puts her hands to my dad's genitals. And he's just like, what are you doing? But then later on, it's like it turned him on or something, and I'll see my dad, like, masturbating.
Interesting. Was that little girl you, or was it that Pepsi chick?
No, it's not me.
With the Aretha Franklin voice?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, I have had an ass full of that little piece of ass. I really have.
That's not her fault.
I know, it's her screwed up parents' fault. Whacked out stage moms dragging their little kids all over the goddamn planet. Oh, you people make me sick. Any of you parents that take your kids out to auditions ought to be shot. You really should. Your kids should be left. They should grow like weeds out in the yard. That's it. Yeah, like an onion. Your head should grow in the ground like an onion. I put a pox on you.
All right.
There's no more screwed up parents than the ones that drag their kids out to those things, is there? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll get back with Jenna and her sexual dreams about her dad after this. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Or Ace Rockola, as a lot of you know me. And that's my partner, Dr. Drew, over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Now, let's get back and speak to Jenna, who had a dream about her dad. Her dad was masturbating.
Yeah. Well,
Jenna, do you believe your dad ever did anything to you?
No, I don't.
Did you ever saw him masturbating?
When I was about in the first grade, I didn't know what he was doing at the time. He was in the shower, and we had a clear shower curtain, and I walked in. I had no idea what he was doing until a few years later, for some reason, I remembered it.
I see.
And since then, I've remembered it. I don't know why.
All right. So, BFD, as they say. Now, why are you so affected? Why do you sound so affected by this?
I don't know.
What else is going wrong in your life?
No.
Yes.
Well, otherwise everything's great.
No.
Great boyfriend.
No.
My mom was pretty screwed up.
There we go.
I talked to her in about a year.
Okay. What's her problem?
Oh, she was basically a prostitute. No, not literally, but she did have a lot of affairs on my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen her do that.
I understand why Dad was in the shower taking care of business.
What do you mean you saw her do that?
I have one memory of her where she was having sex with her ex-husband. I don't even know if it was real or a dream. It was so long ago, but it's there. I have that memory.
There's a lot of heavy stuff flying around, Jenna.
Yeah.
Not just about your dad.
It was years ago when I was, like I said, first grade and before. Tiny.
Yeah, but that's what,
all the worst.
Yeah.
It's like saying the anvil fell on my head. But the good news is I was only 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
Even worse.
I can't remember it.
Yeah. All right, hey, Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
You start listening to classical music and go for walks.
I do. I listen to classical music all the time.
Oh, you're ruining my theory.
This is not about... The issue is not, gee, you were sexually abused, and that's coming to consciousness now. It's that you had some traumatic experience with your dad there, and that's sort of coming in. But you've also had some also very heavy experiences with your mom.
But how can I mean, obviously I can't stop myself from if this memory comes up, but these dreams are really disturbing.
Oh, how many have you had?
Like I said, I had two in the last 2 weeks, and otherwise I've had I have a lot of vivid dreams.
All right. Hey, Jenna, you gotta go to a therapist.
What is it that's most disturbing about this?
It's that my dreams are very real.
What is the feeling that's disturbing?
Obviously seeing my dad that way, but then I wake up and I can't stop thinking about it.
And what is the feeling you have?
Yeah.
One, I feel bad, I shouldn't think that way about my dad. He's the perfect guy. He's never done anything bad to me. And it's gross, obviously.
All right. Hey, listen, Jenna.
Yeah.
You got to talk to a therapist. You're a big ball of feelings.
Yeah.
You got a ton of stuff running around your head. You got to talk to somebody, all right?
Okay.
Yeah. All right?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, don't worry about these dreams. They don't mean anything.
Yeah, don't pay any attention to these dreams. You have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, I think some other heavy feeling is attached to the child in your dream, frankly. And
oh, man.
Where all the heavy feelings are going.
And listen, everybody, with the dreams already, I it's just some sort of a hodgepodge of crap that you saw on TV that day. Don't go too nutty with those dreams. Jesus?
Yeah.
Yes. My good friend Jesus has called in. He's 2,033 years old.
I'm a little upset.
I know. You heard me talking about you earlier?
I told you not to tell nobody. The little people are going to get upset. They're jealous.
Jesus has bad grammar.
is that something lost in the Hebrew translation?
I think it was, yeah. Don't tell nobody. Yeah, Jesus, first hear me out, would you, buddy?
Yeah, I'll listen to your side.
Yeah, because who loves you? I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute. Oh, you're announcing to the crowd.
Yes, I'm explaining this to people. Many of our listeners claim to have, and plenty of people on TV, and mostly pro athletes who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I, unlike a lot of you guys who claim to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, actually hang with the cat.
That's right.
And, stop me if I'm wrong here, Jesus.
No, you're right.
And Jesus has confided in me on many occasions that I was one of his favorite subjects. And that he looked at the other people's basically sheep, lemmings, lambs to the slaughter, and that I was the one he was most excited about having a personal relationship with. And actually, it was me and Tiger Woods.
He sounds pretty good for 2033, too.
Well,
he's kind of young.
I still look young.
Well, he kicked off at 33. He ascended just a couple days later, I guess. And, he's got no more mileage on him, yeah. So, Jesus, I know you're a little upset about me telling people about this because you told me, I know I got the radio gig and you asked me not to say anything, but I couldn't help it.
Oh, can you do something like make up for it?
Yes, what would you like, Jesus?
Well, I've been listening to your show lately and a lot of people have been calling in and they're the sexual immoral, they're the people who practice magically immoral stuff. They're the liars, and
Jesus, just say it in Hebrew, we might understand this better.
They're the sinners, yes.
They're the sinners, and they will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That is their second death. And if you don't,
Drew's been here in the lake of sulfur a night or two. After I ate Mexican.
Yeah, and if you could spread my word, tell them, tell them the word of me.
Right.
It would help them out.
Right. Well, I tell them either you're for him or against him. Or you're sort of in the middle, but it's one of the three, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
I just wanted to know why you weren't at church last Sunday.
I don't have a good excuse. I was too busy drinking, masturbating, taking Vicodin.
Yeah, I saw that on your show, The Man Show.
Yes, is that one of your favorite shows, Jesus?
Oh, I watch it all the time.
Thank you. They have cable
I like
up there?
That one to the Man Ovations.
Yes.
Yeah, the shotgun can.
Oh, yeah, that's an invention of mine, shotgun beer.
That's not available anywhere, though.
Well, you can get it.
Jesus would be able to get it.
You can get it in hell.
Oh.
All right, Jesus.
I'm allowed to go there.
Hey, we'll take this act on the road one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, thank you for calling up.
Jesus!
And when you looked up at the Jesus' call on the screen, he said, that's probably somebody with some intelligence.
He had some. It's just Jesus' grammar wasn't as good as I thought, I would expect it. But I've rasped at the man many times because, as I said, I have a personal relationship.
But he must
Jesus
speak all the world's languages. All of them.
Oh, yeah, he does. Well, that's why his grammar's not so good. You know how it is when people are from different countries. Yeah. Christopher?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, well, I just want to start off by saying I love your guys' show. Been listening to you guys for a while and heard some people call in. Sunday night I went to a rave in Pomona and I got slipped some DXM. Before I had gotten the DXM, I was already on 4 hits of acid and 4 no-dos. So I got about 5,000 milligrams of Robitussin DM. It's concentrated Robitussin, I'm assuming. I guess that's what it was, the doctor said.
Yeah. Good times.
Huh?
Good times.
What?
Yeah.
So I had some friends that I ran into that were trying to take care of me that have done it before and trying to tell me that I'd be okay and, you know, walking me through it. Well, Monday morning, which was Memorial Day, I had the three friends come over the wall. I thought it was all over with. Basically, the wall caved in on me, and it started all over again. And I guess my heart was stopping. That's what the doctor was saying, and I was suffocating myself. I had to go to the hospital. I flatlined three times in front of my friends. Well, when I went through this, I went through some type of religious experience, I guess you could say, and I've always been kind of like, I believe in God, but I don't like religion.
Yeah. Hold on, slow down there, Christopher. Yeah, you want me to get Jesus back on the horn? All right, relax.
All right, screwball. That's called a psychosis, Christopher.
How do you...
You become hyper-religious.
How do you know you...
believe in God.
How dare you, Drew?
How dare you?
How do you know you flatlined?
Oh, the doctor told me that I flatlined three times.
Now, Drew is... Hold on a second.
There's no such thing as flatlining, really.
Is...
For that... Biscuit.
Okay. Is flatlining is basically your heart stopping.
Correct.
Well,
asystole. He would not have asystole.
No.
He would have ventricular fibrillation, which is not a flatline.
Okay. And
they would have to put paddles on him.
That was the term that my grandmother had used for me. I don't know what the doctor told her, but basically I was on the heart monitor, and I guess my heartbeat was skipping.
That's normal.
That's
normal after all the drugs you put in your system.
And then the one time they thought that my heart had stopped.
Which is also normal. It's called a compensatory pause.
Okay. I don't know.
All right. Were you conscious?
I remember,
Christopher, if you had arrested, you would not be going home after that experience. They wouldn't send you out of the emergency room, okay?
They didn't. They kept me in the hospital for 2 days, but to keep me under some type of, they were watching me.
So while you cheated death there,
yeah,
while you were technically dead, you had a religious experience.
Well, this is the thing, is about when I was 14, I came out of the closet. I've always known I was gay. You know, I kind of just didn't, you know, it's just I know I'm gay. Well, when I went to this, I realized, you know, that maybe I should become more godly or something like that. So for like the last 3 days of my life, I've been putting myself through hell trying to make myself believe that I'm straight, I guess.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Trying to...
3 days of thinking you're straight. How long can you keep this facade?
I'm trying to force myself to like girls, but it's kind of like one of those things where you see a girl, oh, she's pretty, but I see a guy and, oh, he's hotter.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just not working. And
hey, you're preaching to the choir.
Huh?
Thank you.
I don't want to go to hell, you know, but I don't know how I can just not like guys. I don't know how this works, and I don't know what I'm...
Now, let me contradict some things that I'd said earlier. There's no hell. There's no hell. There's no heaven. There's no God. There's none of that. That is something that was created by stupid, scared people who didn't want to die, saw someone else die, realized they were going to die, and had to make up a quick reason why everything was going to be okay.
You go to hell and you die!
That's all it is. Now, here's your hell. Your hell is living on Earth not wanting to be gay when you're gay. That's going to hell. And some of those clubs with no windows. That's a form of hell, too. Oh, yeah.
And what he's going to be locked into here pretty soon with his brain.
That is hell. This part about the guy in the robe on the cross with all this is nothing but complete and utter nonsense that's been cooked up by very scared and very stupid people.
Okay.
I'm sorry to burst everyone's bubble, but
no, I don't
stand
wanna,
back and take a look at it for a second.
I don't want to myself for the rest of my life, but, you know, and get in relationship with a girl and, like, end up having children with her and then decide that I don't...
Good. Don't do that, Christopher.
You're
don't
16.
That.
Stop taking drugs.
Well, slow down.
That's all it is.
And let everything just sort of sort its way out.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank
slow
you.
Slow down.
Right. Slow down there, buddy.
No pressure speech. Wow.
Well, gay guys talk fast.
Racing thoughts, tangential.
There's a little governor for speech pattern that they keep in your ass. And only the penis can unlock it. And once it's reached with the penis, it's turned and it's sped up. You know, a certain tape decks, like home stereo units and stuff, they'll actually have a knob on it where you can actually speed up the music a little or slow it down a little. It's like that knob, but it's in the anus. And you can't reach it. But only the penis can get to it. And it turns it up just a little bit. Think about all the gay comedians. Do you know what I'm talking about? What is that? Relax. Smoke some weed. You're trying to get us to smoke pot all the time so you can get in our pants. You smoke some of the weed and slow your ass down. Slow your gay ass down for a minute. Whoa. All right, we're going to take a little break. Yeah? Good times, though, right?
Good times.
And we'll talk to Ashley, who orgasms every time she pees.
Oh,
you want to talk about heaven? You want to talk about hell? It's right here on Earth, everybody, after this. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's a love line.
No.
Matchbox 20 is going to be in here on Sunday night. And let's talk to Ashley, who's 16.
Yeah.
Ashley.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I have a question. Like, I fooled around with my ex-boyfriend in the shower. Like, it happened, like, maybe 2 months ago. And, like, ever since I've been having, like, orgasms whenever I go to the bathroom. And sometimes, like, I'll bleed. Like every time.
Every single time?
Every single time.
Every single time you urinate? You bleed from the urine?
Yeah. And, like, I have, like, an orgasm.
I've been drinking beer all day.
It sounds like you're having a bad urinary tract infection. Sometimes just the irritation from that can make women sort of feel like they're orgasming.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is. And, like everything.
Actually, let me state it again. A bad urinary tract infection, okay?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, so I'll figure that out. Don't know what that is.
You need to go get that tested and get on some antibiotics before it gets into your kidneys and causes damage.
Could it be something like that he did?
Let me... Oh,
hey, listen, daughter of Tardo, would you listen? Jesus Christ. He's saying you have a urinary tract infection and you should get it checked out.
Having sex will cause urinary tract infection.
No. With him.
What's that?
I didn't have sex with him.
What did you do?
He banged me.
Well, having anything, oh boy, any activity down there where there's pressure can push
right, but
pressure.
No sex.
No.
Yeah, but he put a soap on a rope up you, right?
No.
No. Okay.
16.
What's it like to be you, Asha? Must be nice.
I am a blonde.
It must be good in many ways.
Huh?
Isn't it good?
Yeah, sometimes, but it gets old.
She's multi-orgasmic too, I bet.
Are you multi-orgasmic?
Well, I don't know. I've just been having it, like, every time.
You know how sometimes you look at a cat or a raccoon or something and you go, not bad. Not a bad life.
Yeah.
You see the cat, you see the dog, dog stretched out on the sofa. Dog doesn't know it's going to die in a few years. Dog doesn't care about
anything.
Super Bowl, the Kentucky Derby, doesn't care about the ozone layer. He doesn't care about acid rain
or nuclear proliferation
or nuclear suitcase bombs being smuggled out of the former Soviet Union. Oh, sorry, man. I don't want to freak you out. But here's my point. All that dog knows is its ass itches or that it's hungry. And I look at the dog sometimes, and even though I don't want to be a dog, I go, well, that dog seems pretty happy. Now, wouldn't it be nice to be that dog? Well, you can't because you know too much. But once in a while, I meet a person, and I go, wouldn't it be nice? You know, your biggest concern is your cuticles.
Yeah.
There's a concert coming up in a couple of weeks. That's all you can focus on.
Huh?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm ruined now. Ruined. You understand? You could give me a Ferrari. Well, I wouldn't care.
You can't go to a strip club anymore.
Oh, how dare you! How dare you!
Ruined that too.
No, the only thing I want to do now is play softball. Kathleen.
Yeah.
You're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
I called because lately I've been dry in the vaginal area. I'm not sure what it is. I suspect maybe it's the pill, but it wasn't listed on any of the side effects.
What pill are you taking?
It's called Allegra.
Oh, for allergies?
Allegra D or Allegra?
I believe it's just Allegra.
Because the D can certainly dry out. And Allegra is an antihistamine. Yeah, it could possibly make you dry.
No, I'm actually on the pill.
The birth control pill?
Yes.
Also?
No, that is what it is. It's called Allegra. Wait. No, I'm getting... You know what? I'm getting it mixed
you
up.
Mean Aless. Aless. You mean Aless. Aless.
Yes,
yeah.
That's it. Aless.
Yeah, Aless can make you dry. That's possible.
Oh. Why?
The pills can do that sometimes.
Is that a birth control pill?
Yes, we have an adrenaline.
Aless? Hey, never hear about that one.
It's a low dose.
Oh, I see.
You can use it in the morning after pill.
Yeah, what about a... Let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
I sleep with my mouth open, it gets dry. If she's lying around with her legs open, will things dry up down there a little bit?
I don't know.
Not unless you breathe through it.
It doesn't dry out.
Do you breathe through your vagina? No?
Only if I sit up a certain way, but anyway.
I see. All right, so it's that pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do I do about it?
Change pills.
Say that again?
Change pills. Talk to your doctor.
What's a, another good brand to change to?
You might try Triphasic.
Phasic?
Triphasic, like Ortho 777 or Triphasal, something like that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right.
Great, thanks.
Tri meaning four and phasic meaning something you're going through but that you'll grow out of. Okay?
Oh, I see.
I see. There we go.
Four phasic.
Hey, Nikki?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're 20.
Mm-hmm.
Are you standing too close to the generator?
Let me try.
What's going on?
My brother was just sent to prison, and he's my little brother, and, we're really close.
Where are you calling from?
I'm actually on a cell phone picking my boyfriend up from work.
I see.
But at any rate, I kind of have, a problem with, having sex. I mean, I've heard, I'm on the Zepovera shot.
What's your brother in prison for?
He's in prison for statutory rape.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I have, nightmares about it constantly. And, I mean, it really, I don't know, the girl was, I have a problem with it. I left the girl in my house, and I didn't know she was 15 years old. And he just had got out of jail, so it was kind of I feel like I'm maybe the one, fault.
It's all your fault. You shouldn't open the door.
Yeah.
Good time. What was she doing coming over the house?
Actually, she snuck out of her house, and my brother,
And what was your brother coming out of jail for?
Malicious destruction. They went around, doing stupid crap, busting mailboxes, and
he got thrown in jail for that?
Yeah, he was 17 years old.
He must have had a little bit of a history before that.
He was kind of, harassed in, our small town by the police, so...
God!
Now, I know what it's like when the man tries to bring it down.
Yeah.
There you are, doing nothing, mind your own business, blowing up mailboxes with M80s, and the man, because it's a small town mentality...
Half of them.
It's probably because he's a white guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand. I know what it's like to be a white youth living in America. Man coming down on you.
Yeah.
Because of the color of your skin, man.
Yeah. Well, it's been hell for my family.
Yeah, well, it's tough. He's a victim as much as the mailboxes he destroyed and the youngins he banged. He really is. He's a victim. My heart goes out to him. It's no different than someone who's stricken with cancer or another form of disease.
Yeah.
Here's someone who couldn't help what happened. Sure, a lot of people could argue that he could have stayed home the night he went out and destroyed everyone's property, or he could have kept his Johnson in his pants when he was banging the underage chicks fresh out of prison. But that's an argument, and they're entitled to their opinions.
Yeah.
I don't believe a word of it. I say this we need, you know what I would say about this guy, Nikki?
What's that?
We need more men like him. This world needs more guys like this.
I wish.
The guys that are willing to stand up to the man.
Yeah.
The man comes after him. Small town mentality.
Yeah. Well, I just talked to him.
Yeah, he's a saint. Yeah.
And I guess, everybody's calling him a pedophile. And, this is my little brother. So, and my, big sister, protective stage, I want to, go and kick some ass, but I know I can't, and I know I can't really do anything, but...
Well, can't you bake him a cake with a file in it or something?
No? Well, I wish I could.
Hey, Nikki!
What's that?
This guy's a major F-up. A major F-up, and the fact that you're making excuses for him and protecting him makes you a minor F-up, at least.
Yeah.
So, he's in there because he deserves to be in there, because he's effed up repeatedly.
Yes, he has.
Okay, move on with your life. Move on, you screwball. Jesus Christ. I wish I could find one of these people in my family. Where the hell are these people? I wish I had this. Family won't even get cable. This sounds like a three-time loser at 19. It's not his fault. But the man has it against him because he's white. All right, we'll take a break.